Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer, co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. And welcome, seekers, to the podcast, God Beyond the Bible, the podcast designed by seekers and for seekers. And, of course, this is episode number 49. The release of this episode should find us right in the midst of the big holiday rush on or about December 6th, 2019, the year of our Lord. This means Thanksgiving is just over a week past, and Christmas is a mere 2.5 weeks away.
Still doesn't seem possible.
And if it seems that we've barely had time to digest the turkey before entering the bustle of Christmas, it's because so we are told that due to the lateness of the date of Thanksgiving that we are experiencing one of the shortest periods of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I didn't even realize that, but it is about 6 days shorter than years where Thanksgiving comes earlier in the month of November.
Yeah, and it's because Thanksgiving is always on the fourth Thursday.
Right.
So if it comes in close to Thursday, let's say the month actually comes in on Thursday, Thanksgiving is really early in the month.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
But, okay. Shout outs.
Yeah, our shout outs this week are to our listeners in Washington State and Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona. All right. Last episode was one that sort of brings us back to the roots and the inspiration for this podcast. It was on acknowledging the humanity in the Bible. The overall thought being that the Bible is actually a collection of independent works that originated with real people in real life situations with a variety of social, cultural, and religious backgrounds. And when we try to put this collection into one volume and declare every word divine, we find ourselves questioning the consistency of God's work with humanity. In short, though inspired they may have been, every word of the Bible came to us through the pen of real people who in no way claimed to be divine themselves.
Right. In this episode, we're going to approach a topic that we have mentioned many times before, and it's probably very appropriate for this time of the year, and it is stress.
So let's start segment one with a definition of stress. How can one really define stress? In the context of this discussion, stress may be defined as a mental or emotional tension, often resulting in a feeling of urgency and anxiety. Does anyone have a better definition?
I think that's pretty close to me. This is actually a secondary definition. Stress is a word used in architecture and design, mm-hmm. relating to the load on a particular component of the structure. Most structures fail due to the stress exceeding the limit of the structural component. It is a fitting word simply because our mental and emotional load can easily exceed our limits, leading to failure or breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so question. Is stress or this feeling of urgency and anxiety more prominent in our society today? And if so, why do you think that is?
Well, having lived longer than you guys, twice as long, that's all we can compare it to. And all we can say is it feels like it's more stressful. Mm-hmm. I think it really is. I think it really is. If we allow it to be, it could be really more stressful. Now, it's probably not more stressful than when I was young and raising children and all of the financial sure. stresses and all that in that manner. But I think we just take a whole lot more on.
Yes.
For our own. I think we own a lot more stuff than we need to, don't you?
In some of the research I did, people were saying that one of the biggest problems that causes more stress today than we had, say, the average person had, say, 100 years ago, is that 100 years ago, your main concerns were really about your immediate family and community. and that you were more concerned about today, but now we're focusing on everything going on in the world. We're focusing on things 2 weeks or 6 months down the line that are on our plate. And
well, that's kind of the way I look at it. I think this age of being connected is really stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's tracing number four.
So what do you think are some of the greatest contributors to the stress that people experience in our age?
I really think a whole bunch of the stress is an overestimation or an overexpectation of what we need to be or what our life needs to be like. And I think a lot of that comes, we'll try to talk about that later on, but in the commercialism, you need to look like this, act like, you need to be in this position in life. And we're stressed because not many of us meet that.
And social media. I mean, we say that a lot, but social media is always there. you see the highlights of someone's life, and it can...
Well, it was funny because after I started going through this podcast, I got on Facebook and I started scrolling through some of this stuff. And here are three quotes from three different posts that just popped up nearly back to back.
Okay.
Good enough is never good enough. Focus on your future. Don't think about now. And think about where you'll be 6 months from now. And if you sit back for a minute...
There couldn't be three more stressful things.
Exactly. Even though I understand that in the context they meant these as something good.
Right.
It still adds a lot of pressure and a lot of stress.
Well, is it possible to live an absolutely stress-free life? Or has it ever been possible in any age? And I don't think that is.
I don't think...
No, I mean, everybody has their dreams. Everybody thinks about that, you know, 1,000 acres in Colorado off the grid where nobody's going to...
Yeah,
but then you're going to have your own stresses
off,
with that.
Off the grid means you got to have plenty of wood cut. And you're
that's
gonna
exactly
to, you're
right.
You're going to be a lot dependent on the weather.
And we kind of idealize that whole, you know, well if we could just get back to where... We
romanticize. Yeah. Mine's Gilligan's Island. I always just want to go to Gilligan's
there
Island.
There you go.
Where the fun never stops.
The fun never... They have everything there.
So what are some of the contributors to stress in this holiday season? A time when, you know, it's supposed to be cheer, joy, and goodwill.
People.
Yeah.
It is.
And a lot of it is family. I mean, there was a poll done in 2017 by RSPH, and they polled more than 2,000 adults. And the most stressful part of Christmas, 76% said family arguments.
I can see that.
That's, you know.
I was going
I got to tell you, I don't know if any of them are listening to this, but I was talking about, DJ's always teasing me, Tabby's husband always, and well, I'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, I was thinking about, I said, well, so far our Thanksgiving's been pretty good, because I remember one year a girl told me, said, yeah, our Thanksgiving is a lot better this year. Said, last Thanksgiving, one of my uncles stabbed the other one in the head with a fork.
Oh, goodness.
At the table.
I guess it can only go up from there, can it?
Yes. Anyway, what are we about? What are the contributors of stress in this holiday season?
I was reading an article on stress in the holidays. And the lady that was writing it is a mom of three kids. And she said, imagine that you have four family dinners that you're expected to attend, at least two on the same day, two on Christmas
Eve,
two
stressed.
On Christmas Day. And gifts are expected at every single one of them. You're on a budget, especially with kids. And she said, so by the time you start getting to these dinners, your kids are exhausted. There's an hour drive to the next dinner. And you remember that your cousin got married last week and he has a new wife and you didn't get her a gift. She said, this is why I am exhausted. And her thing was, she said, this is why I stepped back from Christmas and said, no, till the kids are older, we're just going to be home on Christmas.
And I can understand that. But I'm thinking too, you mentioned that, and this is also a thought. You know, did you think about Robbie's bringing his new girlfriend?
Uh-huh.
You know, Robbie that's been married three times already, but he's got a new girlfriend. Or did you remember? Oh, no, we didn't.
Yeah.
So you go, I just go to my sock drawer and start looking for something. I'm only teasing you. I'm trying to relieve this just a little bit.
Hey, I do know a lady, if it would help you guys out, when she finds a good deal on something,
yeah,
she puts it in a tote in her bedroom. So if a gift occasion sneaks up, she can just go pull something out of her tote.
There
to
you
give.
Go.
That's still not cheaper than saying, oh man, I forgot your birthday.
Yeah.
This is your birthday. It's you, seven.
So, an article posted in December of 2017 titled Five Reasons Divorce Increases After the Holidays.
And listen, this is stress related. This is not about marriage.
No.
This is all stress related because relationships are stressful.
So, I'm going to let you start the article.
Well, okay, the survey began. Surveys and studies have concluded that divorce requests tend to sharply increase following the holiday season. Some in the business, now this article was written by an attorney that I read, call the first Monday after the holiday break divorce day. And then the article continues by giving five reasons that they believe that contributes to this increase.
Okay, so the first reason they give was holiday delay. Some couples are aware that they're headed for a breakup, but they consider, you know, announcing that right at Christmas time bad timing, and they tend to put the event off until after the holidays. And this is especially true when children are involved.
Probably the first little cue was is that I didn't get anything for her family.
Yes.
I didn't get anything from y'all because I'm not going to be family next year. I'm not trying to make light of this. This is serious.
Right.
But this is a true point about these relationship breakups at the after the holidays.
Right.
The next one is holding out for hope. The couple may try to use the holidays to recapture or rekindle their commitment. And when this fails, they really see it as that final sign
that it's over, and I can understand that. Exposing weakness is the third one that they gave. The holidays are filled with stress, duh. And couples are often spending more time together than usual. And this may magnify flaws that already exist in the relationship, and I hadn't really thought of that.
I hadn't either. I guess because we kind of spend a lot of time around our spouses. I mean,
anyway.
Yeah, we work
together.
Yeah, but
I'll tell you what, we have a good snow, and I'm begging for DJ to find
something to do. Yeah.
Okay, another reason that they give is New Year's resolutions. Couples don't necessarily resolve to divorce in the new year. However, beginning a new year often prompts us to reevaluate our lives and take inventory to determine if we're where we think we want to be in life.
And that's a big one right there. That causes a lot of, I can see where that causes.
So now we have the financial incentives.
I really thought this would be number one.
Yeah, me too.
Already existing financial problems are usually multiplied during the holidays, and they have to be addressed in the new year. I mean,
that credit card bill is going to come.
Yeah. What would you have guessed to be the period of second highest increase in divorce requests? Now, if the holidays are number one, what do you think number two is that attorneys say is their second highest time that people are likely to come in and request or inquire of a divorce or even file for divorce?
I really couldn't come up with it. I don't know.
I figured it would be after Valentine's Day.
When
the holidays are officially completely over. And
it is the period immediately following the annual family vacation. Now, the article didn't speculate why this was, but they hinted that it was the same reasons as after the holidays. They think, you know, exposes a weakness. They're holding out for hope. It's not a good time to get a divorce. We've got this, you know.
Or money.
Money, financial.
Vacations get expensive.
All the same. Yeah.
So with that somewhat less than happy holiday thought, we're going to pause, regroup, and we will return with more on our topic of stress.
And welcome to part two of episode 49 of the God Beyond the Bible podcast. Today's topic is stress. And we ended segment one with at least one attorney's take on why there's a spike in divorce on the first Monday of the year following the holidays.
Well, we also define stress as a feeling of intense pressure, urgency, and anxiety affecting us mentally and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. So I have another question.
Okay.
What is your personal number one source of stress?
People.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love people. I really do. But people are the ones that stress come through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have this fear of disappointing people. So someone asks me for a favor and I'm like, oh yeah, I can do that. And then I start getting more stressed out because I realize I was already crunched for time.
Now you have to do that.
To finish,
So, and mine isn't even necessarily so much people. It is people, but a lot of it's me. I'm an introvert. So when I have that coming up where I know I'm going to have to be around a whole lot of people and I feel like I have to be.
Yes.
That makes me very stressed.
Mine is too many. Really, one of mine is too many projects. If I have too many things hanging over me that need to get, I get really stressed. Even though I know.
Do you ever not have that?
No, I don't. But I have learned, if you notice me now, I've learned to kindly work on a project and complete it.
Right.
Try to bring it to completion before I start a new project, because I'm not a multitasker.
Yeah.
And I get stressed if I have a lot of things. Now I've got to do this. And before I can do that, I have to do this, this, and this. And that's probably what makes me kind of a planner.
So what are some things that people commonly do to try and relieve stress?
Drink.
And do these things work in the long term? Or do they complicate and add to the stress?
Wine.
Depends on how much.
Wine. No, really, people do. Yeah. Resort to alcohol, drugs. Sleeping aids.
Guys, here's a big one that people don't talk about a lot, but retail therapy.
That's very true.
What do you mean?
People, when you go buy something.
My wife must really be stressed. This has been a stressed relationship for her. Is that what hers is retail therapy?
But you do. You feel bad.
I'm only kidding, Tawana. I love you.
It's safe.
If he's not here for the next episode, we know what happened.
If I've lost 10 pounds.
There you go. Yeah. But no, retail therapy is a real thing. When you're depressed or you have anxiety, you go and you buy something and it gives you a temporary high, of course, until bills come in and things like that. And it can really lead you into a spiral.
I think of the buyer's remorse first.
Yeah. I know, but you are like a penny pincher. I mean, you don't even want to talk about that.
I am very conservative.
You are.
I live a very conservative life, and I like it like that.
Yeah.
I like it like that. If I see other people frivolous with money, that stresses me.
Do I stress you out?
People stress me that are young.
You just said you stressed me
out. I know.
She almost touched me on my bad knee. I've got some bad knees. She almost hit me on the knee. Okay. So did we cover everything that people
think
to do?
I think so, yeah. Okay.
Well, if no other kind of stress exists, aren't we all under some degree of financial stress? I mean, finance, we're talking about money, or more appropriately expressed, the lack thereof. May be the single most stressful area of life. Do you think that's true or false?
Well, it's true. And even, I know as someone with anxiety, even though my husband and I are set pretty comfortably, you always have those things that come up like, okay, you have enough money now, but what if one of you gets sick and you can't work
You know what that comes from, though? That television. That's watching media. Mm-hmm. Oh, what are you going to do if Bill dies? We've talked about that. Why would I be if Steve dies? Woohoo! No, I'm just
And it's not just that. From television, we are taught from television and social media ads, we're taught that we need these certain products. And when our bank account isn't up high enough that we can get it, then we start having that.
You are not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, it's me. I think that's how I avoid the stress if I don't have money, but I don't have a lot of bills either. I don't have a lot of expectations for my money, so if that makes any sense.
So we were just kind of talking about it, but does exposure to media, TV, radio, newspapers, social, does it increase our stress level?
I think it does. That's why I really can't Facebook. I can't sit and pick up on those little innuendos that people make about other people, about if you're not like me, that's basically what. If you think you're a bad person.
I was telling you.
I can't, I don't like
And I
that.
Was telling you yesterday, the week before Thanksgiving, I decided to go off of social media. I have not been on Facebook for almost 2 weeks, and it's almost like a
Somebody's
detox
thing. Somebody's
posting
under your name.
Yeah, probably. I didn't realize how much I opened that just in my free time, like how much I would just grab my phone and open Facebook.
Tawana, how often,
Tawana, are you listening to this?
How often you're sitting somewhere bored and you open Facebook and then you close it and then you're still bored, so you open it back up again.
But what is amazing is I have not had the stress of seeing those snarky posts, and I haven't like suffered any from not knowing everything that everyone ate for dinner one night or anything,
And I struggled too. I'm one of those people, guys. I can't watch the news.
I don't.
The news gets me extremely anxious and worried and concerned.
Well, who asked that question, number six?
That was number six, so... Well,
it was the second part of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Does it appear that media is designed to make us feel unhappy with where we are in life, insecure over our financial status, or unhappy with the way we see ourselves?
Well, they can't sell it if we don't want it.
Certainly it is.
If they can't make us think we need it or want it, then...
That gum television. I ain't done my old man voice
there
in a long
time.
No, Stephanie will be missing that.
It's that darn television. It really is, guys. Think about it. All of that is geared to give you this anxiety and feeling of urgency that I really do need that. I must get that right now. I like the ones. I'm always prone to that. I have to really watch those where they're selling something cooking. I don't even cook that much. It's like, boy, that would be great. And it's really the food just looks good.
Yes.
I know. And then you buy the product and realize you have to actually do the work to get
the
food to look
good. You still have to clean it up.
Yeah.
I don't care. You have to clean up the mess.
Well, one of the funniest things that... Because I watch one of those and I get hungry. I mean, honestly, I start... And one of the things in a blog that I was reading said, if you think that you're hungry but you're not sure, think about something that you really don't like to eat. And if you're okay with eating that, then you're probably really hungry.
I'm just feeling silly today, but I did read a deal a few years ago, and it was that you could sniff a banana. Seriously,
what?
Smell a banana, that it's got some kind of deal that triggers a hormone in you. It says smell a banana like 5 minutes before you eat and you'll eat less. Don't eat it. Just smell a banana. I guess eating it would probably even do more, don't you figure?
I'm sure it
And then I came up with this idea. How about my dirty socks?
Oh my gosh. There it went.
You smell my dirt. That would put, if that don't put you off your feet, no.
Why don't you read seven?
We have probably all heard someone admit that they dread the holidays and they're always glad when they're over. Is this an honest and legitimate emotion that we all have to one degree or another, but we just don't verbalize it?
I think people are verbalizing it more and more, but we still keep subjecting ourselves to all of the...
Increasing the stress.
Yeah.
We just keep doing more instead of doing less, and then we're more stressed and we say that even more. But I remember the first time I heard a woman say that, I just... And then I realized she had lost like three of her children, and I mean, there was a bunch of things that were... And she just... Her husband, she had lost her husband and three children, and it was like... Wow, I could understand that. But it was kind of hurting at that time because I was young. And I thought, well, this is really the happy time. But it really is a stressful time.
It is. And that's something we've discussed in our family and stuff. But like my husband and I, we only do one family's Christmas get together. You know, one family's. We don't try to do the back and forth family to family because it does cause us both stress and we end up arguing. And it's not worth that.
No. Some people face multiple holiday-related functions between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
Not anymore.
They may include school, work, church, clubs, or other organizations, multiple family gatherings, just to name a few. And some people feel obligated to attend as many as two or more functions per week in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Ooh. And often each of these functions require the purchase of one or more gifts and or the preparation of food or snacks. Or an additional evening of decorating prior to the event. So, I mean, do you think this could increase the stress level at all?
Nah.
I could, you know, I bragged even said, well, this is my sixth holiday to end of the, but really deep inside I was saying, when will it end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Is it ever going to end? Because I've got three more. I have three more.
Yeah.
I'm done with this now. Yeah,
I've had
been
enough.
Invited to. Yeah, it does. And but yet, like Tabitha said, we don't seem to do anything about it. Well, we're going pretty long on this.
Yeah. Well, before we end this segment and offer up some tips on reducing stress in our lives, we really feel compelled to point out that after all the hustle and bustle of the holiday season leaves us overfed, broken, exhausted, we have in our part of the world anyway the dreariness of winter that's right upon us. Which, according to mental health experts, tends to contribute to our stress-related anxiety and depression. So, just stay with us. It may seem that we're merely contributing to that stress of the holidays by talking about all of this, but we're going to pause and return with some tips that may just help you make this season a little less stressful.
And welcome back, Seekers, to episode 49 of God Beyond the Bible, the podcast by seekers and for seekers. This episode is dedicated to the topic of our old enemy, stress. And now here in part three, it's time to consider some ways of reducing that state of mental and emotional urgency and anxiety that this time of year triggers in a lot of us, if not most of us, to varying degrees.
Almost every article written will have two main points of advice in common, including an article written by mental health professionals from the Mayo Clinic. They are, number one, be honest with yourself about how you feel. Disguising your true feelings will only lead to more stress and anxiety.
Let me say, maybe do that in private.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe
I'm trying to lift the mood here.
In other words, the way we read this is, identify what it is that stresses you about the holiday season and make a plan to reduce, avoid, or avert those stress triggers.
And number two is exercise your right to say no.
I'm so bad at that.
Don't allow others to guilt you into functions that are stressful to you. Some people intentionally plan a trip during the height of the holiday season just to escape the stress. Has anyone ever used a tactic similar to, well, you know, this might be Grandpa's last Christmas with us. He's getting up there in years, and you know his health isn't that good anymore.
And Grandma may get run over by a reindeer.
Well, one of my favorite things came from Oprah in one of her podcasts, and she said that the most powerful phrase that she ever learned to use was, sorry, I can't do that. And she said, I give no further explanation after that. She said,
I'm also really bad about that. If I do say no, I feel like I have to give, you know.
She said, I learned that I'm sorry, I can't do that covers everything. It doesn't matter if I can't do it because I don't want to or because I have another engagement.
Yeah.
I still can't do that.
Let's just be honest. We're really not used to hearing no.
No.
Especially people who are putting these demands on us, you know, or have you ever heard, I just want the family to be together for once instead of all doing our own thing?
Oh, yes.
Now, be honest about how those approaches to pressure you make you feel. It might be wise, again, to sort those emotions out in your own mind before you verbalize them. But I'm just saying, that is a manipulation tactic.
It is. And I have that natural rebellion in me that makes me want to completely go off the other direction when people use stuff like that.
Yeah. And you know,
well, it makes you want to, but often we don't.
We don't. Right. That's
often
exactly
we
right.
concede and give
and
in.
And so I'm just there and angry through an entire.
And is that really?
No, because I'm miserable, and then I make Tabby miserable, even though she wanted to be there.
Yeah, well, in that saying no thing, I mean, we need to exercise our right.
Yes.
To say no. And so often, that makes us feel like we're just so self-centered. And
it doesn't make you a bad person to say no. You're still a good person, and you still have, yeah.
That's true.
And it may be difficult to say no, but like Tracy was saying, think about how difficult it is to dread a stressful event and how that stress affects you, the people around you. I mean, your family. I snap at my family. I snap at everyone. It takes real courage to just say no.
It does.
And to do it without making an excuse. To just politely say, we're going to explore some new and less stressful ways to enjoy the season this year.
And is that a bad answer?
No.
No, absolutely
because
not.
I think anyone, except the person maybe pressuring you, and maybe they've been pressured. Maybe they feel pressured. Mm-hmm. So maybe even they feel it's the pressure I'm the organizer. Yes. Have you ever been that? Mm-hmm. I'm the organizer. I used to be that. I'm putting it all together, so I want it to be.
And let me say this, too, and I can tell you from experience, when the kids were really little, we had a family get-together that met on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
And my kids were really little, and I hated that we open presents and we have to rush off.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? This next year, I'm not doing that. We're going to stay at home, and if we go somewhere later in the afternoon, that'll be, but not first thing in the morning. And you know what? They got mad, but they got over it. Wow. So you have to remember that, too. It's going to be okay.
I've gone that through a lot. And even if my in-laws are listening to this, they know this. I went through. I was kind of rebellious. Like, Trey, you're not going to make me or guilt me into doing things. Mm-hmm. That's not the way to approach me. You know, you might reason with me, but you're not going to, you know, you're not going to force me to do things in this.
And, you know, guys, there are even families who don't buy gifts.
Bless their
hearts.
They
only exchange gifts that they've made themselves. They don't go out and purchase new materials to make the items. They spend the whole year gathering the materials to make their gifts. And these gifts are a lot of times more personal and cherished by the people who receive them than something you just buy in a store. I think
there would be more excitement in the giving.
Mm-hmm.
If you had spent the year and you're thinking about what you're going to do for this, you start in January. Okay, for so-and-so, I'm gonna do this. And it doesn't have to be guys. It could be, I had rather have a personal handwritten note. Don't just blog something on there and say, well, I've wished everybody a happy, you know.
right.
Unless, anyway.
Well, and some of these families really set up strict rules on even how the items and materials can be obtained. Sometimes they allow them to be obtained at a yard sale or a flea market, or will allow the item to be bartered for, but often the strict rule is that the item cannot be purchased new.
Sure. And not only that, let's just take in consideration, sometimes the meal preparation is very stressful.
Oh, goodness.
Not to mention expensive. And often while others may contribute a delicacy or a dessert, the bulk of the meal preparation and cleanup afterward falls on a select few. While most guests come and go at their leisure, while some may truly enjoy this practice, others may find it stressful. And it's all right if you find that stressful. I remember here a few years ago at one of our events, a couple of years ago, remember, we did sandwiches and all the complaints.
Yes.
Where's the turkey? Where's the ham? And I'm looking and I'm thinking, what did you bring?
And I have, and she knows this, but my mother-in-law, Miss Linda, is one of those people who, when we have a family dinner, she prepares everything. She will cook a ham and a turkey and potatoes and all of the sides. And the family just kind of told her this year, said, we can't keep doing that. You can't provide enough for 15 of us out of your pocket, and then you spend all day cooking, because by the end of the day, bless her heart, she can't walk.
We always just assume, we always just assume, my mom died young, died at 55, but we always just assume she really enjoyed that. But I've looked back on it. She started sometimes at 5 o'clock in the morning of the day of the event, prepared for everybody, and then spent till 5 o'clock in the afternoon cleaning up. Now, you can't tell me, I never asked her, but you can't tell me that was enjoyable.
That's become another thing, is we've had to step into and say, okay, we're not eating on the good china anymore for Christmas dinner.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. We're going to eat on paper plates, because there's no reason for her to spend her entire holiday in the kitchen. Because that's not a holiday.
Because we've given the staff the day off.
Right. We sound...
I think you're six, Tabitha.
Okay.
I keep bumping the microphone. I apologize to our listeners.
Yeah, we have a new studio now, so we're getting used to it.
We've been downgraded.
As we mentioned in our episode on tradition, tradition is a very complicated and emotionally charged issue. Some people are not going to be understanding of you or your family implementing what seems to be strange and new activities in place of the tradition. And this is especially true, you know, of the large family gatherings or the large meals.
And those are the most stressful, right?
Yes.
I mean, for me, I'm just trying to be really open and honest.
And to be honest, a lot of people would love to opt out of the stressful activities and gatherings, but they're afraid they may become the main topic of conversation among those who do gather. And this it may seem really trivial to you, but many are manipulated into reluctantly participating in these events out of fear of being ostracized by the group or the family.
You'll be right up there with me. You'll get to me. Well, some people's holiday stress comes from the actual event never living up to their expectations of the perfect holiday. Has anyone ever had this happen?
Yes.
As entertaining as it is, one of our holiday movies I watch every year is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, starring Chevy Chase. Now, this was based on the main character's attempt to make the family Christmas perfect, which, as those things generally do, he failed miserably, and his behavior became more and more erratic with each disappointment in his holiday plans. That's what I was laughing about earlier. DJ was picking at me about something at the dinner we just went to, and I said, you're going to keep on, and I'm going to go Chevy Chase on you.
That is so funny. I have to tell you guys this story. The first year Steve and I were married, that was kind of when I started being asked to, like, bring stuff to family dinners and stuff. Because before that, it was me by myself. I didn't really cook.
Nobody thought you could cook.
Yeah.
So nobody expected you to.
Yeah. My first holiday, they asked me to bring this corn casserole, which is something I had never even made before. So I look up a recipe, and I get out my big casserole dish and I put this in my oven and it's got to cook for like an hour and a half before we're ready to go. And so I put it in there and this stuff explodes in my oven. I mean, it literally blows up.
I think in most of those casseroles, they take that corn off the cob.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been those cobs sticking out of it.
It was one of those moments for me where I'm just sitting in the floor crying. There's stuff pouring out of my oven. And I was like, I can't do this.
Like an episode of Lucille Ball.
It was horrible.
Well, is this me?
It's you.
Okay. Well, Tabitha, would you take that? I've got to get a drink.
Yeah. So do you think in this age we live in where people air almost every facet of their life on social media that there is an air of competition of portraying one's holiday activities as being more joyous and festive and perfect than they actually are?
I have to get my Instagram photo right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be honest. In years past, I have seen functions that I have been at. And I'm going.
And you looked at the pictures.
Where did that happen?
Yeah,
where
were those? And you looked at all this stuff that was in this beautiful. And you're like,
I thought we were at the same place.
Yes.
But, you know, into people post pictures. And I love seeing it. But, you know, their decorated houses or their Christmas trees or their. And you start getting, you feel that anxiety of, well, mine has to be.
And let's be really honest. We hit the like button or whatever, or even make a comment. And it's purely out of dedication to that friendship more than it is. I mean, people aren't as interested in our lives as we are.
Right.
Or as we appear to be.
Right.
So I want you guys to finish this thought. As for me, a perfect stress-free Christmas would be.
Oh, I'd have to think about that. This kind of sneaked up on me, this little last question, but I'm
just
saying.
We've always wanted to, like, go camping or something, just us for a Christmas.
I'm thinking hiking. Yeah, I like to hike, and I'm thinking just, you know, hey, it's Christmas morning, and this is a day I don't have anything to do, and I'm going to just pack me a couple of cans of Beanie Weenies, and I'm going to the woods, or a bicycle ride. I mean, something really non-traditional.
Mm-hmm.
That just takes away from, or how about just to me, stress-free would be the family get together again and have some lunch meat. If you get hungry, go in there and fix yourself a sandwich.
There's some bologna on the top shelf in there.
There you go.
So with that thought, think of how you can move towards reducing the stress of this holiday season. And in that light, I pulled up a list from the Ecumenical Buddhist Society, because I really do like a lot of the Buddhist teachings.
I think she's a Buddhist.
And I am a little bit of a Buddhist. They have 5 things that they suggest for taking the stress out from around the holidays. The first one is take a few minutes each day, even if it's 5 minutes when you're hiding in the bathroom from the rest of your family, to just slow your breathing down and tell yourself that you're doing enough. The second thing is slow down your speech and it will slow down your mind. Don't run to the store. Go to the store. Don't rush over to get something done or rush through something. Just slow your speech down and then you'll slow your mind down
that.
Too.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not going to run over to the store.
We're gonna run down right quick. We're gonna just run down to the store right now.
Just say, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
Number 3 is simplify your physical life. If you're feeling really overwhelmed, sometimes the act of throwing a few shirts into a donate bag can actually help relieve that stress and that weight from your mind.
I can see that because I love going through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I get stressed, I can get rid of stuff in my house.
That's one of those days I was thinking, do they have to be, if they were dirty shirts, that would relieve the stress and need to walk, do a load of
clothes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm only kidding. I'm trying to.
Remind
you. This is stressful.
Number 4 is remind yourself, I'm doing this right now. Everything else can wait while I'm doing this. And each thing that you do, tell yourself, this is what we're doing right now. That can wait till later.
Well, that's part of meditation therapy. Mm-hmm. And meditation, part of the best part of meditation is, and there's one I really loved, and they started putting commercials in it. Now it's not free anymore. But anyway, one of the things that's guided meditation, you don't need to be anywhere else right now.
Yes.
You're doing the most important thing you can do right now.
And the 5th one on the list is when you start feeling that pressure, it's a step outside or somewhere where you can get some cool air.
And get a drink.
Take a couple of...
I'm sorry.
You're terrible.
That's already begin. Oh, I'm sorry. Man. I missed
that. It says,
I was going to say smoke.
When you really start feeling that weight and that stress, go outside or somewhere where you can get some nice, cool air. Take a deep breath. And they said, physically stretch. Stretch your back, stretch your arms, and it will release endorphins and relax you. And then you can go back and focus again.
They say that's why yoga and stuff is so mentally good for you. And I want to apologize to these girls for all of the dirty socks and all of the stuff.
It's okay. We know you. We're used to
this episode. Well, I was a little over the top this time, I think. But anyway, it's just because this episode was a little stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
It
when
makes
you start
me thinking
it,
about
yeah.
the stress.
And no more Costa Rican coffee for you. Well, you hear that, Charles?
I deal with stress by humor.
Yes.
That's just one of my releases. Okay.
So do you want to conclude
it? I guess I will. The truth is, for many of us today, the anticipation and excitement that should be associated with the Christmas celebration is too often overshadowed by the stresses that come from an increased demand on our time, by all the activities and events, and the financial stresses that seem to be almost unavoidable if you allow yourself to buy into all the commercialism of Christmas. Then there is the stress of the anticipation of being in large crowds. Mm-hmm. We didn't really talk about that. Tabitha mentioned it a little, which some of us find stressful in and of itself. Not to mention feeling pressured to be here or there, or often as not, at two or three different and distant locations in one day. It's almost enough to make some of us want to completely withdraw from family and society. If I could make one recommendation that you take away from today's discussion, it would be this. It's okay to say no and politely opt out of certain things that you find stressful. In fact, as difficult as we may find it, saying no up front is much easier than all the stress associated with committing to participate in something that you simply do not like to do. And you would not do it of your own accord. We didn't have opportunity to mention it on this episode, although we have mentioned it on numerous others. Stress is extremely detrimental to our emotional, spiritual, and physical health and well-being. In short, stress makes us sick. It is even life-threatening.
Yeah,
stress can kill you. Yet we seem to do little towards reducing those things that cause us the most stress in life.
So with that being said, as always, until next time, God's grace, peace, and love be on each of you, our fellow seekers, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.